You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to the weekend. It is Friday, college football weekend, or what's left of it. We'll tell you about that here in a couple of minutes, but we appreciate you being here on the program. We have a lot to do, some really interesting guests, including the head coach of the University of Kentucky. But why don't we begin with a couple of headlines? And there is quite a bit of information and quite a bit of news out there right now to share with you. Let's start with the new recruiting dead period. Coaches cannot have face-to-face contact. Coaches can't watch recruits compete in person or visit their high schools or host recruits. Coaches can write or telephone recruits. That's great. Let's make it easy on everyone, right? Meanwhile, testing. That seems to be the theme of the day. And John Swofford says the ACC will stay at 3-time-a-week testing protocol. And he feels good about the beginning of the season. We had Commissioner Sankey on last night, and he said the same thing. Meanwhile, is the MAC back? Remember when we had the MAC commissioner on a couple weeks ago? He said, we just can't do it. It's not safe. Well, they're having a meeting tomorrow talking about a possible return to the season. Yeah, and you're looking forward to the weekend, and so were we. I say that past tense because a couple of games are already gone. Georgia Southern against FAU. That was one of the bigger games of the weekend. I kid you not. And arguably the biggest game of the weekend is also gone. Baylor and Houston. They put that game together in a couple of days. It's already out. It is truly amazing what has been going on here. Meanwhile, the SEC today, one week and a day before its teams play, has announced its cancellation. To play a game, teams must have a minimum of 53 scholarships, including a minimum of 7 offensive linemen, including a center, a quarterback, and 4 D linemen. If a school decides it cannot play, it may request a game to be rescheduled. If the game cannot be rescheduled, it will be declared a no contest. No low contendere for those of you scoring at home. Final decision on rescheduling or declaring a game a no contest belongs to the commissioner. So, not too different than everyone else. Right now, if you're thinking about next week, there's one or two schools that might start getting nervous. But what we saw today really caught everybody's surprise. And I'm not even sure we had a positive test. We just had contact tracing, which is going to be the most discussed word in the football lexicon. We heard Greg Sankey reference it last night. People do not like it, and you will hear more about it as we continue with the program today. So let's get back to a few more headlines. As we said, it's a busy day. Auburn has put the Eagle on hold. No Eagle for the 2020 season. And at Alabama, is there a quarterback battle or not? Mac Jones versus Bryce Young. That seems to be the conversation. We are going to talk about it later on. Really big show. Joe Tessitore returns to the show. He's out there doing football this weekend. Mike Griffith on. Who should be the quarterback at UGA? Mike Golic Sr. He's now doing college football. Mark Stoops. He's doing college football, too, as a head coach of Kentucky. Stephen A. excuse me, I read that wrong. Stephen M. Smith from Touchdown, Alabama. He'll join us on the QB situation. And Michael Collins on the major this weekend. The U.S. Open currently going on at Wingfoot as we speak. Let's begin with some phone calls, and we start with J.K. in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, J.K. Good afternoon.
Fireball, what's happening?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Man, you back to rolling the beach ball up to old Sankey again. I heard him the other day. You had Sankey softball question more than Fox News asked Trump. I don't get it, Fireball. Why didn't you ask him who's going to be responsible for reporting all these positive cases?
J.K. Let's have I plead guilty. You're right. Let's do something for fun here, okay?
Let's go.
I am going to be Greg Sankey. I wish I could. I mean, man, the guy's doing great. And you be the artist formerly known as Paul Feinbaum. And I'm going to toss it over to you. You conduct the interview. It's all yours, buddy.
Hey, Mr. Sankey, Commissioner, I got a quick question for you. What time did you and Nick Saban get together and make that all-SEC schedule?
That would have been that didn't take very long, by the way, J.K. I asked Coach. I said, who do you want to play and who don't you want to play?
And why did Florida get overlooked?
Well, because it wasn't really fair for Alabama to have to play Florida because they might lose.
Another quick question for you, Mr. Sankey. Can we count on you to hold these coaches and presidents accountable for reporting every positive case, whether you have a meaningless game or a very important game that may get a team to the playoffs?
J.K., you have my word on that.
Yeah, I really believe you, Mr. Sankey. Hey, Paul, you asked Larry you asked him tougher questions on Budweiser than you do Sankey, but it's all good, baby.
J.K., let me make sure I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to let you know where you can send your resume for this job. Hey, thank you. Always great to hear from you. And Rick is up next in California. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Rick, I'm one call down. I've already been raked over the coals, so I'm 0-1.
Okay, now I have a little issue here with you, so it may be 2-2.
Okay.
You remember I called several weeks ago and suggested we have a little contest. Let your viewers and listeners pick the records of each SEC team. And I don't understand your reluctance to do it. However, I do understand your boss's reluctance, because if you have some couch potatoes and like myself, if we outpick these $100,000 a year people that ESPN's paying, I guess it's going to make them look pretty bad.
Well, you're right. I mean, if they paid us $100,000 a year and we couldn't get these things right, we would look pretty stupid. I'll tell you a quick story, Rick. I used to be a newspaper columnist, and I would pick games every weekend. And when we had a contest that if you could outpick me, you would get a bumper sticker that said, "I beat Feinbaum" in the newspaper contest. And I realized the best thing for me to do was to miss every game, because that way everybody had a bumper sticker. The most embarrassing thing is I went to see my mom one weekend, and as I pulled in the driveway, there was a bumper sticker on her car saying, "I beat Feinbaum."
You know what? I remember that. I remember that contest. But anyway, here's my suggestion. Being as I've had a little time to think about this, let everybody pick all 14 teams, and if they hit it on the nose, give them 5 points. If they miss it by one game, give them 3 points, and then two games, give them 2 points, and then nothing after that. Add up the scores. Let them pick the total points scored in the Alabama-Auburn game to break every, to have as a tiebreaker. And I just think it'd be huge fun to have a chance to pick it. By the way, I think that we're going to have a whole lot of 5-5 and 6-4 teams this year knocking off each other.
Well, I can't wait. That's all we need. You go ahead and pick all the games, and I hope you're right about every one. We are going to take a break. I don't pick games because I never get them right. All right. We'll take a break. Phone calls continue. More guests as well.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Joe Tessitore will join us shortly. Looking forward to having him. He's here. He's doing the Georgia Tech game tomorrow, and we will talk to him momentarily. Let's get to Hugh in Deep Gap, North Carolina. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Paul. I've got a quick item, and it's wonderful that Coach Stoops is going to be on because he may want to address this or he may not. There's a publication called Rivals, and they have a writer, Travis Graff. I don't know if you're acquainted with him or not. But over the weekend, he came out with quite a statement about the NCAA having approved several weeks ago Joy Gatewood to play at Kentucky, and the only thing holding it up was conference approval. And it's interesting because Matt Jones at Kentucky Sports Radio indicated the same thing. He confirmed that. And at this point, it looks like Alabama and Georgia are holding pretty dear. They're five-star players. And I know Coach Saban was open about his distaste for any transfers within the conference. But I remember well, I think, one of the best interviews I've ever heard you do and on this network was one you had several years ago with Coach Stallings. And when you asked him about Saban's record and his excellence, he agreed, said he was good. He said the thing that makes him different are those 12 guys that he's got sitting in a back room with green eye shades that have the book and record on every player to ever put a helmet on. And the truth is, it's kind of a disgusting thing when two teams kind of bankroll up all of the five stars they can take away and set up and then kind of egregiously let them go but don't want them to go within the conference. In that article that I read from the Herald, there were a couple of comments that indicated that May's transfer was actually blocked by the coach at Georgia. It's interesting that Stoops and the coach at Auburn that made a gentleman's agreement, Coach Stoops said, I would not play Joy Gatewood at Auburn since he's a recent transfer. That's what they called in the paper a gentleman's agreement. Paul, if you would address that, hopefully Coach Stoops will have good news about Joy Gatewood. We're all kind of looking forward to that, us Kentucky fans. The other thing we're really worried about is the condition of Chris Oates, our best linebacker, who has not been on the roster. He's had some sort of illness. If you'd check on those two things, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Hugh. Yeah, we will talk to Coach Stoops a little bit later on, and the Gatewood question certainly will come up. How about JT in Mississippi? JT, thank you. Good afternoon to you.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, man. It's calling over here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We talked a little earlier in the year. I was boasting about my Georgia Bulldogs at the time. You remember we talked a little bit about Jamie Newman and about the defense and your guy in Florida saying that the gig was up, if you will, about Florida beating Georgia. I just wanted to come on here and say that I wish Kirby and the Bulldogs best success, but not against Mississippi State Bulldogs. I've circled the wagons and come to my senses, and I'm coming back home and wanted to come on here and publicly air that out and say that we're all on board with Leach and the air raid, and we're coming back to the west side.
Well, thank you, JT, for the call, and I certainly hope you're right about all that. Max is up next in Baltimore. Max, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm just calling today because I'm having trouble understanding why Texas A&M isn't getting enough national love. You know, yeah, I understand that the West is tough, but...
Well, hold on. I mean, I believe, aren't they ranked in the top 10?
But they're not getting any real playoff looks. They're not getting any real chance in the SEC.
Let's cut to the chase. You have an opportunity here on a national show. Give us a reason to believe in Texas A&M.
I got one word for you, two syllables, Jimbo. You know, a Florida grad right here on the phone with you, that's the toughest game we have aside from the de facto SEC East Championship game in Jacksonville. Jimbo's had the Gators' number. They got a veteran quarterback in Kellen Mond, and I have full faith in his ability to get that team
going.
Yeah,
he's had the Gators' number with Florida State players.
I mean, Texas has better talent.
I mean, yeah, I do apologize. You're going to have to do better when I ask you a question about why we should be giving them love other than Jimbo, who went 8-5 last year. Can you do a little bit better than that?
Because
if you can't, I'm going to find somebody who can. You can do better than that, can't you, Matt?
Yes, I can do better than that, Paul. The reason why I say we're going to win the West this year because we turn more talent than Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State, and half the teams in the West this year. We return more experience. Yes, we return a veteran quarterback in Kellen Mond. We return more depth than a lot of teams in the West this year. And we return more experience than most of the teams in the West this year.
You did a good job. You bailed out your fellow Aggie there in Baltimore. You should be proud. Hey, thanks for the call. John in Tennessee, you're on the air. Hello, John.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there, buddy. Good to have you on.
I had a quick question about the quarterback situation at Alabama. Do you think Mac Jones is mature enough to be the quarterback?
First of all, you have to tell me what you're laughing about. We all need in on this. Couldn't tell me. Must have been a secret. I think Mac Jones looks pretty good right now. Larry in Baton Rouge, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? Larry here from Baton Rouge. And I really just wanted to let you know, I think Derek Stingley this year, he's my Heisman favorite. He's going to be a Heisman candidate, I think. And I just want to know, I mean, I don't see a lot of love for LSU really ever on the show. And I was wondering what I think they're going to do great this year. We didn't get a lot of love last year. We went out there. We showed everybody who's boss. And we won the Natty. I think we're going to do it again. What do you think?
I disagree, but I agree with you on Stingley. I think he's a phenomenal player. Winning the Heisman might be difficult, but I certainly think he's in a class of his own, and I think that's been proven time and time again.
Well, all right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was hoping you would be on my side here, but.
I got no problem with LSU being a good team. I just don't think they're going to win the Natty. That was last year. Jeff is in Florida. Jeff, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Bred a gator, born a gator, raised a gator chomp. You tell your boy from Texas that Jimbo Fisher wasn't nothing when he was up there at the University of West Virginia. You know, he ain't going to win no SEC nothing. Have a nice day, Mr. Feinbaum.
Man, we have stacked a few calls in here in the first couple of minutes of the day. Let me reset a couple of big ones. Probably the biggest game of tomorrow has already been scrubbed, and that is Houston and Baylor. I think, which one is it, Houston or Baylor? I can't remember which one of the schools has already had three or four of its games postponed. They cobbled that game together in a matter of days, and it's already gone. We have many more things to do on the program today, including a conversation with Mark Stoops of the University of Kentucky. He's coming up here a little bit under 2 hours. Right now, we are heading to a break, and when we return, Joe Tessitore also returns to this program. We can't wait.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and it's always great to welcome our next guest, one of our favorite people of all time. He is Joe Tessitore, who is in Atlanta about to do a game. He's also one of the stars, not the star, he's one of the co-stars of the ABC hit Holy Moly, which has just been picked up for its third season. None other than Joe Tessitore returns to the Feinbaum Show. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it is so nice to be reunited with you, and it is so nice to be back in college football after my 2.5-year tour of duty in the NFL. And if ever you told me that you would be introducing me by way of extreme mini golf at one point in my career, I tell you you're crazy. But it is nice to see you, Paul. How are you?
I am doing and on that show, I want you to talk about this for a second, because Steph Curry is the executive producer. It came out as a summer replacement show, and it really has taken off.
We've had a lot of fun with it. We've been very blessed. And, what started as a little competition reality show with Extreme Mini Golf quickly turned into a buddy comedy. And Rob Riggle is so greatly talented, and I like playing the Bud Abbott to his Lou Costello and being the straight guy and the setup guy. And we've had a lot of fun. And the fact that ABC ordered a couple comedy specials, one of which aired last night, and that we're already ramping up for a season 3 is just beyond belief. But I am more interested in what's going to be ramping up in about 7.5 days, because I just got my assignment for next week. And I am thrilled, Paul, that we will be bringing the SEC back on the air with Florida at Ole Miss next week. We just need every week to get to the starting gate and be able to bust through. We're sitting down here at Atlanta, and as you know, everybody just holds their breath with the COVID testing every week to make sure that we actually have football games to broadcast.
So breaking sports media news right here. About next week. That we'll talk about that game in a minute, or Joe. But let me ask you, because you've been doing this now a couple of weeks now, and we saw the Houston Baylor game get scrubbed.
Yeah,
we've seen some other critically important games. What's it like out there?
You know, you sit here every week now with the coaches, and half of your conversation has nothing to do with X's, those has nothing to do with game preparation or strategy. And has everything to do with all the efforts and energies they are putting into making sure they can get a roster onto the field safely. Roster management becomes critical in running a program right now. And we know what the Big 12 came out with recently, what the SEC is now backing up of the minimums that you need to have to be able to field a team. But we also know that the key word is contact tracing. That all it takes is one positive, and then you go through and, well, this guy is in this offensive line room, and all of a sudden you don't have an offensive line. Now you don't have a football game. We're all learning the new world that college football exists in. This is life when you are outside a bubble, when you're outside the realm of, say, what top-ranked boxing is doing or what the NBA or WNBA is doing. And it's challenging. And last week when we came on ABC at 3:30, McElroy and I, and we're sitting there getting ready to do the Florida State game. You know, the one thought that came to mind also as the parent of a college football player is give credit to these young men for what it has taken for them to be so responsible and disciplined, most of them arriving on campus back in June, quarantining, not seeing family, friends, girlfriends, not having the summer that a college kid wants to have, testing 3 times a week just to get us to the chance to even play college football. So I give credit to the young men who are so responsible and disciplined just to get us to this opportunity to even see the sport that we all love so passionately.
I'm not a great interviewer, but I'll give it. I do know a follow-up question. You are the father of a college football player. What's it been like for you and obviously Rebecca Tessitore and your whole family with a son playing college football at BC?
So John right now is on the charter to go down to play at Duke. And I will tell you this, and I've had this conversation recently. Obviously, we all give great pause when we hear certain medical reports as parents as to what can happen to a young person. But then you realize the seriousness and the thought that goes into it for most of these programs, staffs, coaches, trainers, and you watch the kids go about their business. And Boston College, since that group has arrived on campus, has not had one single positive test. One young man arrived there COVID positive, but they have been nearly flawless. One arrived, the rest are zeros through. They're up to over 2,000 tests. I am more concerned with what I saw in March, in April, and May, where I live in the Northeast, in the heat of the battle, in some spots, of 15, 16, 17-year-olds working the checkout counters in the public at grocery stores than I am with my 20-year-old college football player. The resources and what these folks have at these football facilities is A+, the best medical attention. The seriousness by which the administrators, the staff, the trainers, and those who are running these league offices are taking this, I could tell you, is beyond belief. I feel very comfortable as a parent sending my kid off to play college football. I honestly, we've assessed the situation every step of the way, Paul.
Talking to Joe Tessitore, who has returned to college football, and we love having you back. Joe, you did Monday Night Football for a couple of years. It's pretty heady stuff. But what was it like to get back in the booth last weekend?
Listen, I describe it this way, Paul, and you and I have known each other for a long time now, and you know what pulses through our blood in terms of the authenticity for the love of this game. College football to me is like putting on the most comfortable pair of jeans and sitting in your favorite leather chair and relaxing. It just feels like I'm at home. I love the passion. I love the pageantry. I love the tradition. I love how it's tribal. I love the identity markers for what it means to all of us. I love how it's regional. I love this point in a young man's life, that crossroads of finding themselves, developing, growing, bursting on the scenes. And most of all, this is what I really love about broadcasting college football at the level I do it at. I love celebrating the athlete. I love the fact that it's not about contracts and it's not about me. It's about us and it's about we. And each and every week to go out there and have the opportunity to celebrate these great schools, these great athletes, that is what I really get excited about, Paul. And it feels very comfortable to me. And I want to also say this because, I never stopped listening to you, Feinbaum, just because I went off to the NFL for a few years. You know, I'm sitting there driving around and I'm on the app. I appreciate the role that you played in our sport category over the course of the past half year. And I think it's been critical. I know we had a significant phone call somewhere in late spring about what you did. And you became, for so many of us, a therapist in many ways, somebody holding our hand through it. But first and foremost, what I want to do when we talk about celebrating people in college football, and there's so many to celebrate, is just take a moment to celebrate you for sustained excellence. And that is the thing that I appreciate most, anybody who I consider a master craftsman of life. It's not just can you be excellent for one moment, can you pop, can you get my attention, but can you have sustained excellence? And that is what you do, Paul, each and every day, day after day, year after year, for so many of us who feel this way about that sport. And I just want to pause and recognize that.
Thank you very much, Joe. Before you go, I would like to just ask you about being in the booth last week. And I say that because you've done boxing championship match bouts all over the world. You've mm-hmm. done the semifinals of college football playoffs quite a few times. You've done wild card games in the NFL, mm-hmm. but you're sitting there last week. Great place to watch a game, exciting game. We were watching it here, and the atmosphere was what? What was it like?
It was when I went back and watched and reviewed our work, I realized, and it was my mistake, that it was more than I anticipated. Now, granted, there at Florida State, they allowed 19,500 into the stadium. Here at Georgia Tech tomorrow, when UCF plays Georgia Tech on ABC tomorrow at 3:30, there's going to be 11,000 at Bobby Dodd. And I went into things thinking, man, you can hear a pin drop because, you know, I'm sitting there used to doing a game with 100,000 SEC fans under my feet in a press box, or an NFL playoff game, you know, or a heavyweight championship fight where you can barely hear yourself think. And I think this week I want to step back and realize that there is going to be some natural sound, that you do have a band, which, and that familiar tone of college football, that the fans who are there in the stadium are really there to give their all to those kids. And we're going to capture more of that natural sound this week than we've had. And I think with conference play and the power conferences coming back into the mix, it's not going to be as sterile as some of the football that we heard, you know, in that week zero and week one. And then come next week and a few more fans and different kind of atmosphere, you know, I think we're going to have something far different. And as the season gets deeper, I think that'll get better.
Such a pleasure to have Joe Tessitore back on our program as he re-enters college football next week. He's already said he will be in the SEC for the opener. Joe, all the best. We'll be watching tomorrow, and can't wait to see you again.
And next week we will talk all things Lane Kiffin against the Gators, my friend. We'll see you.
Cannot wait. Thank you, Joe. Joe Tessitore joining us from Atlanta. No one quite like him. We are going to take a break. More of your calls, many guests.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
To join us, including Mark Stoops. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and a great show underway with Joe Tessitore starting it off. Jason is in Indiana, and you are next up. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. I've been under the weather for about a week, so I've been doing podcast catch-up. So sorry if what I'm going to talk about here is a little bit behind time. But I heard your Brian Kelly interview, and I heard the reaction to it. ACC fan, I hate to disappoint you, but the truth is this. You don't recruit on a national level. Outside of about 2.5 of your schools, you don't recruit on a national level. Most of you are irrelevant. SEC fan, it's the same way. Most of your schools do not recruit on a national level. If Notre Dame joined those conferences, they would be in the higher level. That's the reality. The reality of college football is this. If you look at the high school football top 25 and you don't have any players from that high school football top 25, you're irrelevant. If you look at your roster, you don't have any players from Florida, Texas, or California, you're irrelevant. That's the reality.
Well, I mean, I follow the sport fairly closely, and you do have to recruit. And that's why when I hear a fan from whatever school say, hey, we're really doing well, and I say, and I look down and they're 23rd in recruiting, I'm thinking that's good at Indiana, but in the SEC, that means you're about 10th or 11th in the conference. You're not moving up.
Yeah, there's about three teams consistently in the ACC that are relevant. In the SEC, about five or six, LSU, Auburn, Alabama, Georgia. I'm probably missing one. Sorry, A&M, you don't count. You haven't been relevant since the Southwestern Conference, and since Bucky Richardson was quarterback. But that's the reality. I mean, I'm a Big Ten fan. I'm a Michigan fan. The reality is there's two, three teams in that conference also.
Well, But I'm trying to understand in relation to Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame does recruit at a pretty good level. They're a top 10 program overall. They recruit differently than everyone else, but they still recruit well.
I just think if they joined the ACC conference, I think they would be probably 1, 2, to 3 every year. I don't think there's any doubt.
I mean, the one thing I think that it would help them, in the southern footprint a little bit better, where, you know, Florida, we're talking about Florida for the most part. That's the key recruiting state in the South. Georgia's pretty important, but they're not getting in the ACC. So
and they won't for one simple reason. I'm assuming you've been to games on campus, correct?
Yes, I have.
If you walk around the campus and you look at the license plates, most of them are Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York. Their footprint for their alumni is out east because a lot of the graduates go to Ivy League schools. That's what they're concerned about. They're concerned about that eastern block and getting the people and fans come from there. Their fans don't want to travel down south. They want to travel to the east. That's why they play Pittsburgh. That's why they play the eastern teams more.
Well, you're right. Notre Dame's fan base is pretty obvious. It's East. I mean, Chicago is a critical part too. That's the closest urban center, and they have a huge following in Chicago. But Philly, Baltimore, Washington, New York, Boston, those are pretty important as well. Hey, thank you for the call. Terry is up next in Missouri. Terry, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Terry. Good afternoon.
Hey, you are the best talk show host in America. So, but I want to say another thing here. I had a dream the other night that Arkansas beat Georgia and Mississippi State. Then I woke up and I saw they have to play Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M, and Florida. And that just, what do you say about that?
That was quite a dream, by the way, Terry. I wish I could have. I usually dream about bad guys chasing me on mountain cliffs, but
you know, the way things are now, you know, it could change. You know, I mean, things can happen. So I'm just hoping for Sam Pittman to do Arkansas like, you know, Bob Petrino did, you know.
Let's hope. Hey, thank you for the call. Jack is up next in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello, Jack.
Paul, how you doing, sir?
We are doing great.
Listen, I'm a freshman here at South Carolina. I just wanted to get your take on the QB situation and Colin Hill being named a starter yesterday. What are your thoughts on that?
I was pretty encouraged. I mean, I think Kolinsky has had his moments last year, but the fact that he played for Bobo, Bobo now is calling the shots, I think it's a really interesting development. And it has me maybe a little more upbeat for the Gamecocks. So what's it like on campus right now in the reaction, and what has the reaction been from your friends?
Well, you know, we saw it yesterday, and of course we have the email came out about student. You know, less condensed. You know, I think for, you know, kids like us, it's, you know, any hope that the over the next couple years, you know, mainly had a chance of getting beating Clemson. But, you know, I think more than anything, you know, going back to the quarterback situation, it starts with the defense. And if the defense can tackle somebody this year, you know, I think, you know, we could have a chance. But like you said, you know, I think it's encouraging. You know, I think Hill brings a poise and a presence, you know, being a grad transfer that Helsinki may not have yet. But, you know, you're playing in the SEC. You're playing against grown men. So
you are, Jack. Hey, Jack, thank you for the call. Hey, by the way, we're only 1 hour down, but if you want to give us a call, this is a good moment to do it. We will take your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Give us a ring. We'll get to some phone calls. We have many, many more guests, including the head coach of the University of Kentucky. He'll join us in the next hour. We've already had Joe Tessitore back with much more.